What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Market Bury, the podcasting coach here. And one of the things that is a big problem with podcasting and just a big problem with everything in general is that we can get stressed out and we can get messy. We could get unorganized, not know where things are, feel overwhelmed, and not really know if we're making the right decisions and moving in the right direction. So that's why in this episode, we're going to talk about how do we go from stressy and messy to organized and optimized. Our guest who joins us today is a leader in science education as a science teacher specialist at the Board of Education. He quickly mastered the art of time management and organization skills, and his goal is to expand his audience by sharing his physical and digital organizational techniques with the world. Our guest who joins us is none other than Bobby Jackson. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. Glad to be a part of it.
Bobby, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I feel like way too many people can relate to this ongoing battle with stuff and getting disorganized, feeling stressed, feeling a little messy. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how you were able to quickly master time management and organization and what some of those skills you mastered were.
Definitely, yeah. So one of the big things that people struggle with organization, there are so many books out there on physical, home organization, but the main thing is now, like in the job market in the 21st century, people don't realize there is such digital clutter. That's a big issue. It's a big trending topic now. So there's a lot of issues with just thousands of emails that are unread, emails that get lost, passwords that get lost, just disorganization with our phone apps. There's just so much out there on digital disorganization, and just having the idea that even exists and it is a thing, and just being digitally organized, having your icons and desktop icons on your computer also organized where you could actually locate files, files that are efficient, folders that are efficient so that where you can locate them. So it's the reason that I mainly wrote my book, From Stressy and Messy to Organized and Optimized. So people just are always just clutter. It really does. Like if you come home and you find just your house is a complete chaotic wreck, like you just gain all the stress, all this anxiety, and there's just a lot of issues that relate to that, you know, physiological issues too as well that can lead to hypertension, high blood pressure. So there's a lot of bodily harm that stress causes as a result of being disorganized. So it's really something that I didn't take for granted. Growing up, one of the big things was always having to-do lists, always having organized lists where I can resort to and I can look at and I can make a check off at the end of the day saying I accomplished this. Because at the end of the day, if that list winds up becoming recurring and it becomes extremely long, then that's what leads to that stressy and that messy lifestyle. And that's not good for anybody.
And having lists, I always do lists because they just help you stay on track rather than get distracted. And getting distracted is a lot of how the stressy and messy can come in. But it is interesting. You don't want to have too much on your list because then that causes stress. And I feel like with a lot of people, it's not like no one sets the goal of being stressed out, being unorganized. It happens. And yep. The reason it happens for a lot of people is because they have this thing they have to do. They brush it off to tomorrow or they say it's not a big deal. And you do that with enough things. And now you've got this big mess. So how can we get better at solving this issue before it becomes a really big mess?
Yeah, great question. So I'm in education, so there's something in education and psychology we call metacognition. What that is, it's understanding how you think, how you learn, and how you behave, and how you best learn, how you best behave, and how you best respond to situations. And so if you are aware of yourself and how you behave, and so you're going to know preemptively that by you leaving a piece of mail on your counter, that eventually that's going to repeat itself over and over and over again. Metacognition is something that lately we instill in our students in education, and that's the reflection, teaching students the power of reflection to revise work, to revise their thinking, to realize how they initially thought and how they had like misconceptions in the past, and how now they realize that why they learned that way, why they behaved that way, why they originally thought that. And you're absolutely right. Our mind becomes so prioritized with other things at the time that organization, if you're not aware of it, it will take a backseat to that piece of mail that you're letting sit on your side table. And you think, oh, by the end of the night, I'm going to, you know, get rid of that mail. I'm going to clean it up. But because your mind becomes so prioritized, that piece of mail starts to become now 20 pieces of mail. And now something else in a different room of your house also becomes non-prioritized. And now you have just this clutter, this chaos, this forced organization. To really being aware of how you're going to respond to that and how you are going to do that, it's really important to have that metacognition or that awareness of how you behave that you can preemptively avoid that situation altogether.
The story of the inbox. I mean, you see, I feel like this really applies the most to an email inbox, or at least this I think most people can relate to. You see something that's like, oh, it's so easy to get back to, I'll just reply later. And I know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to one touch it. You look at it once, you decide then and there what you're going to do with it. But a lot of people, they'll just flag it. They'll say, I'll get to it later. And then you're like me and you've got hundreds of emails you got to get back to. This happens to me way too much. I've definitely gotten better at it, but it does happen to me a lot. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, how can we, I don't want to say inbox zero, because new messages are just going to keep coming up, but how do we not turn that into an area of overwhelm?
Definitely. So there's a couple things with your email. One is definitely consolidate, have folders that you might, and I recommend at least 5 folders, no more than 10 in your email inbox. And you can prioritize your emails in that way. Even if you don't get to them, just drag them by priority, like most important, work-related, specifically, if depending, and again, I can't speak for everybody. Everybody has different jobs and different categories and how they would organize their folders. But at least having some set of folders and some set of organization in your email, you can drag emails over to certain folders. And not only that, just set a certain time allotment. So for instance, for me, there are some times where I actually have to devote at least an hour a day, and I put it on my schedule, hey, respond to emails from 1 p.m. to like 2 p.m. Or maybe if you're, you have some free time at the end of the evening and you have to get caught up on a lot of things, maybe even just sitting down on your couch, multitasking, having on a reminder saying, hey, prioritize responding to emails from 6:30 to 7:30. And again, some emails, of course, there are going to be some that are just, depending on your profession, some are just might be considered like a spam, or some may be just ones that we can't respond to. It doesn't directly impact us. So you really need to respond to those right away versus the ones that can wait. So those are definitely my two recommendations. But again, depending on your profession, depending on who you are, Mark, you probably get millions of emails compared to I do, compared to what I get. So definitely it might be more of an issue for you than others. But yeah, those are my top two recommendations.
I mean, it is great that you suggest prioritizing emails, because there are some emails where I do get a lot of emails, but it's not just the inbox. It could just be like whatever your version of that is. But for me, I know there's like emails from PR people who, even if I respond in like 3 months and then like say, you know, I'd love to have so-and-so on the show, they're happy with that, because in that kind of environment, you're used to like sometimes it's several months before getting a reply. And a lot of those types of people reach out to me. But if it's like a client reaching out to me, asking questions about different things in the podcasting process, that's someone who I reply to right away. So there is that difference in how you prioritize things. And we also talked about the list. I know you mentioned that. And I love setting lists of like, you know, different goals to do each day. I think everyone should do it. Mm-hmm. I think it becomes an issue when you mentioned this, when, you know, you forget to do some things, you expand the list. So how can we, like, let's say we miss a few days of goals. How can we get ourselves back on track without feeling like we have to overwhelm ourselves by saying, I missed 4 goals yesterday, I missed 5 goals the day before, let me add 9 goals in addition to like the 10 I would do or something like that.
Yep, and it's a great thing. In my book, From Stress to EMS to Organize and Optimize, I actually mentioned this actually with lists. Again, we're all guilty. We've all have had times where we do set goals for ourselves, we set dates for those goals. And there are some times where it does fall through. But if you are going to make lists, make sure you only have at least 5 things on a list at a time. Any more than 5, again, it, like you said, adding more and more to your recurring list, it's going to wind up being very overwhelming. You know, you're going to wind up being overwhelmed, stressed out, you're going to just have all these negative thoughts about how you really can't achieve a lot of these goals on your list. So really keeping it at a minimum, or sorry, keeping it at a maximum of 5 is the best way to go. Even though you might have like 20 goals in your mind and you want to achieve, just keep your list to 5 and worry about achieving those 5. And again, the priority ones, the ones that matter, the ones that are a real burden to you, are the ones that you should focus on. So in regards to that, yeah, have a list of 5 goals. Set end dates on those goals. Really, it's important to hold yourself accountable. You need to have goals that are measurable. You know, you can't have an end date that doesn't exist. You have to have a date, a set time, so you know that at this certain time frame, you want this accomplished. You know, goals are meant to be measurable. You know, we need, in our jobs, in everyday life, our goals revolve around data, right? We make decisions based on data. We make our life choices based on the data, based on patterns we see. So it's really important to have a date, a set time, that you plan on achieving these goals. And another thing I recommend to people is change the plan, but never the goal. So if you have a goal, you have a set date in mind, don't say, oh, I'm going to get this done 3 days from now. I'm going to get this done like 20 days from now, or I'm going to do less of what I set forth earlier. Changing a plan opens up the doors to a lot of self-sabotage. People are just going to keep making the goal less and less and less. So that's really not a good idea to change your goals, but there's certain times where you can change your plan to get to a goal. Maybe you might have to alter other things on your schedule to meet the needs and to reach that goal. You might have to make other sacrifices here and there to reach that goal. But again, at the end of the day, we're holding ourselves accountable. We are making goals that, again, at a set date that we can achieve, but we're not changing them. So that's really important. And that's that whole accountability issue, holding yourself accountable, making yourself aware, and making yourself able to not necessarily, you know, just make sure you have those goals in mind, making sure you're measuring them, making sure it's something that you can achieve. Because at the end of the day, if you do change your goals, it's going to wind up having negative, bad results.
We've got more great content coming up, but first we have a message from the sponsor of this episode. Want to learn how to create multiple streams of income for your business? My friend Ryan Reger has you covered with his book, Streams of Income. This is a free book that will help you make enough streams of income and build them up so that you don't have to worry if one of them dries up. Because if one of them dries up, you've got a whole bunch of other streams of income flowing in. So if you like the idea of having multiple streams of income that support your lifestyle and that allow you to safely and continuously build up on that income, definitely make sure you grab a copy of his book, RyanReger.com. The link will be in the show notes. And the book is free, so you don't have to worry about any expenses like that. So that link again in the show notes. Anyways, let's jump right back into the episode. And with that goal changing, I mean, it's not just giving up on something. It's just this idea of like feeling lost, because it's like all goals, like the really meaningful ones, are long-term. Like someday I want to hit 100,000 YouTube subscribers. That's definitely a long-term type of play. That's not something that happens in a week. But if you say like, I want to get big on YouTube, and then you see TikTok, and all of a sudden people are engaging there telling you, why should be, now I want to be big on TikTok. You try it doesn't work for you. If you keep changing like that, and like, I want to go into books. If you keep changing like that, then it's like, you don't really have any idea where you're going, and you're just mediocre at a bunch of things. And I think this really comes down to guilt. Like Bobby mentioned something really insightful earlier where all of us, like we're all guilty of this. Like, I know Bobby wrote the book, but I'm sure there are days where he's feeling stressed. He's not feeling 100% organized. There are days with me with the podcasting or the YouTube where not as much on Breakthrough Success, but like sometimes I miss an episode, or sometimes like I don't do as much editing. Like things happen. Like we're not perfect, but I feel like people can really let that sense of guilt drag them into like being okay with feeling stressed and being okay with feeling like a mess and not thinking of that alternative. So how can we get better at not beating ourselves up if we are stressed, if we feel like we're in a mess, and if we're missing goals for a few days?
Yeah, great question. So with that, again, it's always looking forward. Don't ever look back. Don't ever think about the mistakes you made. Again, it's always about making plans for the future and making goals for the future. Now, it's really important to keep in mind of, again, I would say knowledge of the past is key to the future. So at least look at it as a factual way and don't look at it as something that you can improve upon. If you look at your past or mistakes you made as facts, then you will kind of take that non-emotional approach moving forward, and you won't let your past mistakes, again, affect your future, and you won't beat yourself up over it. And again, it's to celebrate those small accomplishments. It's really important too, is to stay optimistic in this process, to stay relaxed. Like I said, in my book, I talk about my way of relaxing is a glass of wine. So if I'm stressed on a day and I'm really just bummed out, like I know if I take that glass of wine and just drink a little bit of it, just, I mean, obviously one drink, that one glass of wine relaxes me, and I'm going to be able to be my best version of myself after a long day at work. It might not be wine. It might be listening to music. It might be watching a TV show, something that you know where your mind is going to be distracted from, I guess, some sort of guilt. And then work with that and then move forward with it. But again, just make sure you celebrate your goals. Again, one important thing that I tell people all the time is one, but it's really important to, again, have that reflection, have that moment of metacognition where you realize that, hey, I've accomplished something. You know, I've done this. It might have been small. It might have been not as impactful as something right away, like a big drastic change. But nevertheless, it's a micro change. And making micro changes and noticing your improvement in your lifestyle with those micro changes, it's definitely going to open up your mind to more positivity. You're seeing yourself move in the right direction. So that optimism is definitely going to pay forward in your life. And you're going to feel less and less guilty about the things that you've done in the past now that you're really happy with yourself in your current situation and those improvements that you are making, even though they might be small changes.
Bobby, that's a really great insight. Just to acknowledge ourselves sort of small victories, because on that road to that big goal that you are after, when you do look at the smaller stuff, you see progress. You see the direction towards the goal rather than just focusing on how far away from it you look at these different things you've done. So that also helps you get momentum. That helps you get into a groove. Think of how you can progress at a faster rate than before. I mean, it just opens the door to a lot of different opportunities. And one thing to everyone listening, if you want those doors open, if you want to be more organized, less stressed, get rid of the mess, Bobby's book will be in the description, in the show notes for anyone who's interested. Do you want us to go anywhere else as well to follow your work and journey?
Yeah, sure. So like I said, my book, From Stressy and Messy to Organized and Optimized, it is on Amazon.com. It's on Kindle for $3.99. You can get it there. There's paperback version of it as well for $11.99, but I think Amazon's running a promotion on it, so it's like $9 or $10 right now. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm at @stressy2organized. That's stressy, the number 2, organized, on Instagram. And again, I share a lot of organization tips on that Instagram account. Of course, I share it's my personal account as well, so I share a lot of fun things too as well you might enjoy. But yeah, that's where you can actually find me and my book, obviously. And again, there's a lot of great tips from both modalities. So,
well, Bobby, those links will be in the show notes. Once again, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success. It was a pleasure to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate being here. Thanks.